This is Exploring the Marketplace Podcast. I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Hassan. And together, we're inviting you into conversation about what God is doing with entrepreneurs, influencers, and everyday career fields.
Get a fresh perspective with our commentary and stay for the main chorus from our handpicked guests who are vulnerable, transparent, and sharing how their faith affects their career in powerful ways.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, then their life story is worth a thousand sermons. Here we go. Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. Sean, you and I have big heads today. what are we doing on the show?
Well, we're starting off by talking about business coaching, whether it's worth investment or just another scam. And the numbers say something really surprising, Bob. According to Medium and Forbes Online, business coaching companies or companies that use business coaching are seeing an incredible 788% return on investment. Wow. ROI, whoa. With benefits like increased productivity, better decision-making, and stronger organizational growth. But there's some downsides too, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to break it down and see if it's something you should be thinking about for your own business. And then, you know, it was really funny because, in all full disclosure, we had a guest who canceled, and so we are postponed or whatever. So we have you, Bob, and I said, let's keep doing the show because there's so many things that are going on in your own Lauren's life, and I've learned so much from you over the years, and I feel like our audience needs to hear from Bob. I need to, this will be a Bob Hassan day. So we're going to be talking to you about some of the breakthroughs and some of the, even some of the breakdowns that have happened recently. Yeah. And that I think are really amazing to watch how God's used them. And so you're going to be in the hot seat today, which is really good. I get to interview you and I think people are going to really enjoy it. So stay tuned for a really good show. Our sponsor today is Birch Gold, and Birch Gold is going to help you find a little known loophole in the IRS to protect your retirement, your IRA, your 401k with precious metals. And this is an incredible company. They have amazing consumer reviews. You can look them up. They're one of the top, if not the top, in their industry. And they're sponsoring us and giving you a free information guide by going to birchgold.com/Sean Bowles. Bowles is spelled B-O-L-Z. And when you go there, you're going to talk to their experts, whether you get the guide or talk to somebody. They are so informative, and they're going to help you to go on the journey to stabilize your financial future. And we know that gold has been a standard for thousands of years, and it is today still. You don't want to miss out on your opportunity to do something for your financial future and your children's future. Go there today.
Well, Sean, we have a real topic today that you have suggested we talk about, and I can't wait to hear about it.
Well, I suggested because we've had a lot of people write in and say, is it worth getting a business coach? And so I did some research and just some of the top trending articles online. And then I took a deeper dive to just look at what people actually do for you when you do this. Is it going to be worth it? And we're going to dive into it. And it actually looks like it's really worth it from where, I mean, I think it's worth it because I've been a coach and you've been a consultant very many times. But it does increase efficiency and also productivity as well as the cash flow, which is just an incredible statistic. And according to a study from Medium, the results are really surprising because companies saw, like I said in the beginning, 788% return on investment. And all these things increase, like, again, productivity, better quality of work, stronger organizational structure, lower employee turnover. And that's the kind of ROI that most businesses can only dream of. And yet they're getting it through getting a coach, whether it's strategic planning or improved decision-making or accountability and motivation that coaches bring. It seems like business coaching really makes a difference. Even the networking opportunities that a lot of the coaches provide seems to bring a 2X to a lot of the companies they're working with. But there are some drawbacks, like the cost. The time commitment is usually really intense. The risk of becoming too reliant on a coach and not using your own good judgment has become an issue that many people reported. So, Bob, I wanted to talk to you today about, is business coaching in your mind worth it? And when is it worth it? Because a lot of people will wonder that. Like, at what point do I get a coach?
It's interesting when you bring up the term coaching, that even brings a lot of kind of muddiness in it, because yeah, there are some professional coaches who are amazing. And then when I hear a lot of people talk about coaching as there's people out there who really, like, let's say they couldn't get a job, so they decided to be a coach.
Totally. And that's true. There's people like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying, hey, there's some great people out there that are coaches. I think the first thing when we talk about coaching is you have to really research the person who you're going to look for as a coach. Just like if you're looking for a therapist, you have to get recommendations and really research that person.
Yeah.
But I think coaching or consulting or mentoring is a huge part of how people can get ahead. In my case, I had three older mentors in my life, and so I had access to these men, and I guess you could say they were coaches, but I had access to them to ask them questions when I got in trouble. And I think I have a huge value for mentoring, for coaching, for consulting.
Well, and I know that, you know, when we've gone through different types of coaching, like we've gone through coaching for learning how to do our partnership program and giving in our ministry, we've gone through coaching with you on how to do our cash performa and how to financially forecast. And there's some elements that you just don't always bring to the table yourself, no matter how much training or organizations you've worked for. There's always going to be holes that are missing and things that you can do better. And especially when it comes to efficiency or when it comes to even forward thinking. And I think it's really helpful to bring somebody in. I would say, you know, when it's time to bring somebody in, when you're probably at a place where there's some growth and the growth is causing growing pains. And I think, you know, bring someone in when there's growing pains, where either in your team structure or your financial structure or your operational structure, I think it's really good to bring somebody in who's an outside, you know, person who's not just the board member who speaks once a year to you, but somebody who you bring in for, you know, a season of time to be able to look in on your structure and go, you know, I've seen people do it where they'll bring in like a consulting CFO, and it's not a coach, but they'll bring in someone like from the outside in that context. But to know that these numbers are like this was shocking to me. I was like, this is incredible return on your investment.
I think one of the things that exploring the marketplace does is it gives people courage by hearing stories of people's breakthroughs and breakdowns. And, you know, we hear this all the time from listeners and viewers. And so one of the things about a coach or a mentor or a consultant is that avenue can give you courage to keep going, because being an entrepreneur or being a leader in business or in the church or in a 501c3 ministry is very lonely.
Yeah, it sure is. And, but I agree. To have someone tell you you're okay, you're doing a good job, here's where you can improve. I mean, there's nothing like that. It's like you need someone sometimes to hold your hand a little bit and just say, hey, you're starting this new project. You've never done this before. I know five clients who have. You're going to do fine. You're just doing, you know, I think that also helps, is just that kind of they help crowdsource the information about what you're doing, which I think is really helpful.
Yeah. I remember in our, I think season one, Sean, we had your intercessor on, and I remember we got so many comments like, you know, you're paying an intercessor, you know, they're praying. Why would you?
We still do.
I get that. And my point is that you bring consultants or coaches or people on in different areas where you need help.
Yeah. No, it's so good. Well, I'm glad we talked about it, just in the sense that it is something that God's using. And I think that a lot of companies 20 years ago would have loved to have what's available now. If you just find the right person, they can do wonders for your career, your path. But finding the right person, I love that key. And also to find a business group of people around like you did, which are just mentors, where you're not just paying someone to come in one time for 6 weeks, but you actually get some long-term relationships with people who are ahead of you. I think that's so important. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is one of the ways we can commit to the Lord. And whatever we do, like, he's going to establish us because we're faithful.
Yes, I think about, we recently had a guest who talked about, he researched this man and he wanted him to be a mentor. And so he called him and said, listen, I want to pay you to be my coach.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And the man said, well, I'm not set up for anything like that. And this guy said, well, look, I'm going to pay you. You're going to tell me what to do and I'm going to do it. And then I'd like to pay you for that. And to the man that he was talking to, who was accomplished in his own field, it was very foreign to him, but it changed our guest's life.
Yeah, it changed everything for him, which I think is so important. Well, this leads us to the question of the week, and this came from the Bowles Exploring the Marketplace platform. So this is exciting because this question is one that comes quite often. What daily disciplines do you do to build yourself up in your faith? Or what daily disciplines do you have that create routine in your life for success? That's, there's two ways of asking it. So, Bob, what are your daily disciplines?
I'm so regimented. I'm so disciplined in my life. I get up early in the morning. I do my, you know, my routines, and, you know, I go to work, and on the drive to work is my time with the Lord. I listen to worship music on the way there.
It's only 3 minutes away. Just kidding. 3 minutes with the Lord.
Actually 19 minutes.
Which is exactly the amount of time you need. That's perfect.
Right. So while I'm listening to worship music, I'm asking the Lord, like, what do you have for me today? And one of the things that I think, Sean, you and I've talked about before, is I do have a lot of meetings that have consequence. Mm-hmm. And so I pre-pray on those meetings. Like, for example, I'm in a lawsuit, or I'm trying to get paid, or I'm trying to get change orders processed into our contract. And the meetings that I go to, the other side has a differing opinion, and they're trying to not do what I need.
Yeah.
So one of my disciplines is that I am pre-praying for that meeting. And the prayer goes something like this: Lord, help them to see what I'm trying to do. Help them to understand what my mission is. Help them to understand that we are in a place that they don't understand. Because what I've noticed in my consulting business and in my own businesses, lots of times disputes arise because the other side doesn't understand. So I'm asking the Lord to go before me and change their hearts and change their minds, because lots of times they've already come to a conclusion and they're not going to budge. And so I'm asking the Lord, will you go before me, Lord? Will you, like the Proverbs say, hide me under your wings? Mm-hmm. Will you break the teeth of my enemy if that needs to happen in order for you to break me? Yeah. I think I said Proverbs, but Psalms.
I just wanted to help you with your scripture, because you apparently don't read it very much in 19 minutes.
Obviously.
I'm just kidding. Take that out. Just kidding.
No, I think you should leave it in. What are your disciplines, Sean?
Well, besides all the normal ones, I mean, I think, like, for me, I have little kids, so we wake up early and do the school routine with them. Then I get home, and Serena and I walk the dogs and have prayer time on our walk, and usually we'll drop them off and walk some more if we can. We try to do 2 or 3 miles in the morning. So we'll walk, and then I'm trying to get into a workout regimen again. And I have these God pockets built into it and all throughout the day. And then I have specific times during the week where I usually have, and I plan it the week ahead, where I have a study time with God for things I'm going to teach or pray about or whatever. Then I have a couple times to pray for friends, because I carry a prophetic ministry. So I actually pray for people and try and move them forward in the faith, through giving them, you know, messages or heart prayer ministry, that kind of thing. But I keep, one of the things I do that I really love is I keep my Bible open all the time on my desk, which helps me because it makes me come back to it. So whatever I was reading, it's open all the time. Like, I have a space on my desk for it, and it just stays there. It lives there. Then I also have my online app. And one of the things I've done recently, this is really fun, over the last 3 months, and I've done this every 3 days or so for the last 3 months, is get onto ChatGPT and I say, hey, build me a little Bible study. Today I was stressing out about some time frames and some processes that just felt like they were taking longer than normal. So build me a little Bible study about that for me personally, about, tell me a story in the Bible and then a couple scriptures that would help me to not worry about these things. And it builds you like a little Bible study. I mean, it was so great. Like, that has theology and everything. I was like, this is crazy. So I've been doing this for 3 months. That's really personalized to me. Because I'm just saying, hey, ChatGPT, tell me about what I should be thinking about when you think about the scripture and worldview with the elections. What are some scriptures I could stand strong in? And then some of that comes out later on when I'm, you know, sharing on social commentary, when I'm sharing on the different messages, like different ways I preach and stuff too. So it's been pretty awesome. But I think, you know, we all have routines. Everyone's routines are completely different. I'm super ADHD. I don't like regimented same day structure every day. Whereas you love that. You thrive. My dad was like that. He thrived on that. I like every day to look a little differently in my order, in my time, other than the normal small routines. And so that means that I'm looking for some adventure and some ways to spend time with God. So I'll purposely leave the house and go to Smoothie King and have a smoothie and open my Bible there, just to be in a different environment, a different place. Mm-hmm. That Sri would hate that. She's like, I don't want to be in the public. I don't want to be around people when I'm spending time with God. So we're all different.
Yeah. When I get home from work, I try to exercise in the early afternoon, which is another time where I can focus on God.
Yeah. I love exercise time. Yeah.
And then, you know, Lauren and I have lots of time together, and she loves talking about God. So there's these, you know, there's these rhythms that you have on and off. And I think for everyone, it's personal. For some people, it's locking themselves into a prayer closet for, you know, hours. Lauren, you know, the first thing she does, she wakes up and she can sometimes spend 2 to 3 hours Word, talking to the Lord. And that's something I can't.
When I was single, I was like that with a 9 and 11 year old. I'm like, oh, one day. Well, hey, we have an exciting transition here because you are my guest today. I'm actually putting you in the hot seat instead of Sean and Bob. It's going to be Sean interviewing Bob. I almost said Sean versus Bob. Sean interviewing Bob, not versus, interviewing Bob. And, you know, this last couple of years, you guys have walked through so many different types of things and family and business. You've had some radical increases in your business, especially during recessions and stuff in California. You guys have just seen an uptick in projects that you've taken. You've had a lot of God stories in these projects. Then also you guys walked through some health stuff.
Yeah.
That was pretty intense. So let's kind of go back to just tell us about the last couple of years. Take us on the spiritual journey of the last year and a half to 3 years.
Well, it's been interesting. My business was founded in 1978. So, you know, we're coming up almost 50 years. So, you know, it's crazy. And there's just been this, it's just been a God story of growth from, you know, being in a Volkswagen Bug with paint buckets in the back to now doing some of the largest projects, you know, in America. And we've been really faithful and built a great team, and God's been faithful, and he's taken us through growth, through recessions, and, you know, the 2008 housing crisis, you know, through COVID, and he's just been super faithful. So the business side has just been, it hasn't been like a hockey stick growth, but it's taken a long time, but the Lord's been faithful. And so I think if I was to talk about the business, it would be, you know, it took 30 years before we were really successful.
Wow.
And we paid the bills and we paid the salaries and we paid employees, but it took 30 years before it was really successful.
And I think people hate those numbers when they hear them. I think people go 30
years. Yeah, well, but I also think people look at social media and think everybody's an overnight success.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for me and most of the friends and most of the people I know, it took a long, long time to build a business. And so when you look now at some of my friends or at me with gray hair and they have businesses that are mature, it seems like it happened overnight, and it just didn't. It took a long time, and there was lots of problems, and God had to bail us out of lots of near bankruptcy situations and employee issues and that kind of thing. But, you know, I'm here to say that walking in faith and having God as a partner in your business is hugely, hugely important. And it was in my life. I don't know how I could have gotten through all this without the Lord and without, you know, my wife, who at one point when we were on the verge of bankruptcy, you know, she said to me, "So if we lose everything, we still have each other, right?" And that gave me so much strength, because at that point in time, it was a real estate crisis.
Yeah.
Lots of people's wives were leaving them because, hey, we thought you were successful and, you know, we're leaving you. And then she said this, "Why would God have brought you this far to let you fail?" Oh, she said, "I don't believe that God would do that." And so we spent a lot of time in prayer. And, you know, after years and years of hard work, we finally worked out of a problem that we had been in. It took 5 years to pay off you know, a debt that was incurred because a bunch of our customers went bankrupt.
Oh, so rough.
So my,
it's encouraging to hear in the sense of, like, I hate hearing that it took you 5 years, but so many people are in the business. There's a lot of injustices that happen to you, right? There's a lot of things where it's like beyond your control. People's businesses completely fail because of something like that regularly. And so it's encouraging to hear that, like, what we just, you know, we stayed the course, we stayed faithful, and your story on this end of it is like, there's a lot of hard things, but man, God brought us through. And that's the difference of doing it. That's why we have Explore the Marketplace, because we're going to hear a lot of people's stories, mm-hmm. and they go into detail in those stories of how God came through, which you've done a couple times on the show. People can go back to past episodes and hear actually that bankruptcy story you told one time, and near bankruptcy story you told one time. Talk about like what you and Lauren just walked through with her health recently.
Well, you know, Sean, Lauren and I have this amazing love relationship. We have this amazing relationship. We also have four kids that are two boys and two girls in their mid-30s and their mid-20s. And so we have this amazing family. And I thought, hey, our life is great. We're blessed. There's all these great things. The family loves each other. And then on March 17th, Lauren was preaching at Jesus Culture San Diego, and she gave a beautiful first service message. And before the second service, she came to me and she said, "Yeah, I have a headache. Do you have any Advil?" And you know, when she has a headache, there's a pressure point in between your thumb and your forefinger. And she said, "Could you press that? I'm just not feeling well." And so I did. I pressed it, and it didn't get any better. So she went on stage, and she started preaching. But all of a sudden, she couldn't pronounce words, and she started rambling. And I was watching her like, wow, this is different. And she was trying to tell a story about David and Bathsheba, but she couldn't pronounce the names.
Wow.
And then she was trying to say the word regret, and she couldn't say it. So I started to get worried, and she was preaching on grace, and she stopped and she said, "Lord, I don't know what's happening to me right now, but would you help me?" And then she continued to preach, and then she stopped again and said, "Lord, I need your help." And while she was praying, she started sort of praying her sermon. And while she was in prayer, she could actually speak correctly.
Wow.
But when she got out of prayer, she had to stop. And so we took her off stage, and I knew that she was having a medical emergency. And I got her off stage, and I took her home, and she said, "I just need to sleep. I have a headache," but she was speaking really weird. And so I called the paramedic. One of my friends is an emergency room doctor, Dr. Arce, who is on the show. And he said, "Call the paramedics." And so I did. And the paramedics came, and they bundled her off to the emergency room, and she took a battery of tests. And she was having a brain aneurysm on stage. And so we had a week. We had a week in the hospital of really confusion, because they didn't know the extent of the aneurysm. But when I called my kids, they must have Googled aneurysm, because they all flew from New York and from the Bay Area, and they were all in the hospital with us. And Lauren had this whole battery of tests, and it wasn't until Thursday that a neurosurgeon came in and said, "You've had an aneurysm, and you're going to have brain surgery tomorrow." Mm. And so Lauren is a very feisty. She's a high D. She's the Enneagram 8, and so she wants to know the information. And so the brain surgeon said, "The good news is we're going to be able to go up through one of your veins, through your groin, through your heart, up into your brain, and we're going to fix it that way, so we don't have to crack your skull open."
Yeah.
And so Lauren said, like, in only the way she can, she said, "Oh, so I'm having minor brain surgery."
Minor brain surgery.
And this neurosurgeon stood up and he said, "It's not minor." Yeah. And so the next day, It was one of the hardest days of my life. You know, I thought I have this relationship with the Lord where, you know, I don't demand too much, but I was pacing the halls in my house in the middle of the night, you know, demanding God, you cannot let her die. You cannot let her die. At one point, the neurosurgeon said, there's three types of aneurysms. There's patients die on the way to the hospital. The second one is patients die in the hospital. And the third is you, and you're not going to die on my watch.
Wow.
And so we went from everything being fine to this high alert and incredible stress. And then, you know, she had the brain surgery on Friday morning, and she was in the ICU, and they released her on Saturday. Hmm. So the story is pretty incredible. And she, you know, was trying to survive the headaches that she was having all week. And she was tapping into the Lord. And there were a lot of things that happened in the hospital, but for me.
Yeah, we called at one point, and she's like praying for us and like talking. I'm like, stop. Like, you're like in a mode that, you know, she was just talking to us. I think we talked for like 45 minutes at one point, and it was just like, Lauren, you're amazing. Like, you've just had an aneurysm, and you're like just fully present in this conversation outside of your medical crisis, you know, which is just wild. Yeah. But be honest, I mean, as husbands, we don't want our wives to go first. They're supposed to go way after us. And like the fact that she even had a death threat on her life was so scary.
And so for me, everything changed. I thought I had really great priorities. I thought my priorities about my family and my wife and the time I was spending, you know, was right. But, you know, as she was going through this, I was thinking, well, I can't lose her. God, you have to. And he did. He saved her. And as she started to recover, I started thinking, why am I doing the things that I'm doing? And what is important? I asked the Lord, like, what should I be doing? I should be running my business. I should be serving my church. I should be doing Exploring the Marketplace with Sean. I should be on a couple boards that I'm on. And everything else, the Lord said, you've just got too much else in your life. And so over the last 6 months, I've focused on my priorities, and I've said no to lots and lots of things and lots of people. And it's pretty easy to say, well, hey, my wife had a brain aneurysm and I have to focus on her, but it's more than that. What it was for me is finding what the highest and best use of my time with the Lord was, and listening to him direct my paths. Actually, Proverbs 3:5-6 is my life scripture. And I thought I was living Proverbs 3:5-6 really well, but there had to be some definite tweaks to my life. And I've made those, and it's been an amazing, journey to who my real friends are, understand the need for the difference in priorities now and what my availability is.
When watching you with Lauren, and because Lauren completely, as far as mentally, she's completely there, like 100%, and then, but she can get mental fatigue at times just because she's still recovering. It takes a while to recover from that too. Mm-hmm. And watching you just kind of not, you haven't slowed down, because you just named a lot of things you're already doing that you still do, but there's this place where it's like, I liked watching your priorities shift and watching you go, no, we're gonna recover, like we're in this, like we're and like you're in Hawaii right now as we're filming this, which I think is great, at your property there. And but what's amazing is that for Lauren, it brought a new lease in life as well, where all of a sudden she's like got real focused, like whatever I have left is going to be significant. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do all the things well. So she's building out a studio. I'm going to be doing a lot of media projects and things. And that's a pretty, like she went from me, because you guys are both so generous with your time, and you've helped so many people in so many different ways, but it's a hodgepodge of how you helped them. It's not like the same routine for any person you've helped. It's very different in how you've given your time and your energy to every leadership level couple I've ever met, and then everybody else. And to watch Lauren all of a sudden get hyper-focused and say, no, I'm going to do this. And she kind of cut out a bunch of things too. It's been really awesome to watch you guys reform in this time, because it's such a gift that God gave Lauren her life back. And it's such a gift that you guys have this time.
Yeah, she had no cognitive brain damage, which is in these type of aneurysms is a miracle.
Yeah.
And so she just 3 or 4 weeks ago, she had an angiogram and she was able to get off the blood thinners that she'd been on for 6 months. And her, it just made a huge difference in her cognition and her energy. And lots of things went away, and she's just feeling fantastic now. So, you know, the medical staff was incredible. Our neurosurgeon was incredible. And you know, she has a group of friends and intercessors who just really, really encouraged her.
The best.
It takes time to heal. You and Cherie encouraged her. It takes time to heal. And she, you know, being patient for her is, I mean, she's so patient in so many areas. With with herself when she has things she wants to accomplish. It was hard for her.
Well, and let's just say that Lauren's one of the healthiest human beings I've ever met in my entire life. Like as far as physical and how she treats her body and she works out, she's healthy and clean. You guys garden. I mean, all of the things. So she's the least likely candidate that I would ever think of to have a life-threatening thing happen right now based on health, just because of how she lives her life. So I think like we were all shaken, all of us around you, but I mean, she's just been so encouraging to watch. And then you as a husband have been so encouraging to watch in the sense of like, yeah, you were shaken and you had to overcome something, but on this other end now, you're mostly on the other end, I mean, I love watching your priorities shift. And then, you know, this leads me to like even saying like you guys have coming up, Sophia is launching a company and it must be really something to watch your daughter launch something out of her creativity and her entrepreneurship in the midst of at the tail end of this whole season. You know, here you are, this business first generation in the way you've done it, business owner, and the success, and your daughter sees that and she starts to launch her own thing. How does that feel?
That's amazing. And we're so proud of her, and we can comment on that later. She's launching an incredible denim company in New York City, and it's going to be change the way women wear jeans. So it, you know, it's going to be amazing. But I think one of the other things that happened is, you know, during that week where all the kids were there, I think lots of lingering relationship issues got healed, and they really realized how much they love each other. And they really realize how much they care for each other and even like each other. And so, you know, out of that, we just had our relationships with our kids have been incredible. Let me see if I can get this straight. In October, at the end of this month, we're going to see one of our kids. In November, we're going to New York City for Sophia's denim brand launch, and we're going to see Isabella. In early December, we're going to our oldest son's having a birthday in San Francisco. We're going there. And so it's just when we look at our calendar, it's like all related
to it. I love it. I love it so much.
It's fantastic. And I think one of the things I wanted to say is coming out of a life-altering event like that, you can make a couple decisions. You could let the fear of it happening again kind of overtake you, or you can turn to the Lord. And I actually went through a number of therapy sessions after I knew Lauren was safe because of sort of the trauma around it. And she has been, our kids have gone through therapy because it was really scary. And I think turning to, you know, professionals, we talked in the Real Talk about coaches and consultants and therapists, and, you know, we really employed the use of that, and so did our kids. And so it's been this really beautiful thing to like set us up for the next season of our life as we, you know, I'm 65 now. And so, you know, we have this next season, whether it's 20, 25 years, you know, whatever the Lord has for us, of us being relevant. And so what we want to do is see what God has for our lives and then follow what God has for our lives.
Yeah, I think of the Bob Hassan of 50 years old? Would he have gone to therapy? Would he have gone through some of the healing work you've done, just an inner healing and restoring the foundations, these kinds of things that you've done? And you were on a show that I did called Discovering God, and we were talking about your father wound that got healed on that show on TBN, which you can go through on the TBN archives if you want to watch it, Discovering God. And it was so encouraging to see you in your 50s and 60s, like going through this journey versus you 20 years ago, who would have thought maybe some of that stuff was a little silly or not needed. But you've evolved so much. And I think that this event, although it was so traumatic, it so evolved you guys into another form, you know, from glory to glory, from one place to another. It's just been, as your friend, encouraging to watch you guys. And out of it's coming energy of like, I want to do what I'm called to do and nothing else. And I just love that. It just helped all of us to focus, or your friends, to say, well, I want to do that too.
Right. Yeah. And I think one of the things that happens in the church, and I love the local church, and I've been a part of the local church for over 40 years. I love the local church. But one of the things the local church says is something like this. If you have means, if you have gifts, if you have favor, then you're to serve the church. And so all of a sudden you're serving in the kids ministry, you're setting up chairs, you're a pastoral counselor, you're on the front line of, you know, every Sunday praying for people. You're encompassed by the church. And which I think a lot of that stuff is good and necessary, but there's times in life, you and I both consult with and have talked to people whose marriages have broken up because they've served the church at the detriment of their identity or their family. Yeah,
their identity became the church.
Their identity
was way plus their career, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or we've talked to kids who have said, yeah, my parents were pastors and they loved the church and they didn't spend any time with us. And you know, we feel neglected and we either hate God or we have a different relationship with God. And I think everyone out there should look at what has God called you to do. And if God hasn't called you to do something, then think about cutting it out of your life. Because there's so many good things that God's called us to do. And I found in consulting with people, as have you, that when people really want to listen to God, in the book we wrote, Wired to Hear, about listening to God and hearing God, all these different things open up that people would have never thought of.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing things now that I never would have thought of. I could have never even assumed or prayed about, like, hey, I'm going to be either have written books or be on a podcast with Sean. I could have never dreamed that up. And only God could have set this up for me. And if I wasn't listening to God's voice, then how would I know? And how would I be in this kind of place that I'm at now?
Well, I like your light exhortation, which is basically like, do what you're supposed to do. And even a good thing like church, which you serve at your local church, Jesus Culture, you guys help plant it
every single week.
Do only what you should do. Like, be really honest with yourself, because I mean, being a pastor, I know that I purposely would tell people you can't volunteer for more than one or two things, because I've been the church can be a bottomless pit of need. And so don't try to meet all of our needs. Just do a couple things that will help move us forward. And a lot of churches don't do that. So, you know, their volunteers are 1% of the church and they do everything. And then everyone gets burned out and that happens and they cycle through people over and over. So I like what you're saying in the sense of even a good thing like church can be a good thing like a hobby. Even a good thing like a hobby could steal or rob from something else in the season. And so you just come through something that's caused you to be extremely intentional. And we can all learn and glean from that, because just watching you and hearing you is like, it helps to be formational for other people, which I think is really profound.
Yeah, it's so interesting, Sean. I thought I was intentional. I thought I was doing what God, you know, I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do. I thought all the different things way out and all, I thought I was doing all the right things. And then, you know, once this event with Lauren happened, I realized I want to focus on my wife and my children.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. And, I want to focus on my business and my church. I want to be there for the people that I'm in covenant relationship with. And that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, one day you'll invite me out to Hawaii and I could actually spend time with you when you're out there.
Sean. We've invited you from day one.
I know. They've invited me over and over. We have not been to Hawaii. For some reason, we have not been, which is one of our favorite places to go. So that's on us. But we've seen you lots of other places. Well, Bob, I want to thank you for just sharing, bearing your soul, honestly, and just taking us on the journey of that, because I know it wasn't an easy journey. I know it wasn't something you thought you'd be talking about on our podcast. But I think it's good for people to hear just the honest place of something you've grown through that I think we can all grow with you through because of it. So thanks for being vulnerable.
Well, thank you, Sean.
Well, thanks for everybody listening, who's watching. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast or to this video feed and leave a comment, leave a review. We love to hear from you guys. So tell us what you're thinking about this podcast. We have guests on each and every week that hopefully will strengthen your faith as they tell their story, and you can see yourself and how God's moving in their story. And then it will cause you to have different options and choices in your story. And so I hope that these stories each and every week are blessing you. And also the real talk that Bob and I are doing, but make sure to ask your question of the week. Go to bullsministries.com, click on the Sean and Bob, ask us a question. You can ask your question, which might be featured on a future episode. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Well, that's the end of another Exploring the Marketplace podcast, where we bring everyday people who are seeing their faith affect their career in powerful ways. Make sure to hit like on this video, hit the subscribe button and notifications so you don't miss an episode. Also, I want to hear from you. So let's talk in the comment section. See you next time.